What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiak.
Well, the energy may not be there completely with you, but you got some shirt that exudes energy. You want to show us, or kind of give us an idea?
Well, I've had a bit of a work week.
Yes,
I call it that. Yeah, it's burning the candle at both ends. I love all of my jobs. I love delivering the news. I love writing about hockey for ESPN. I love doing what I do with you. I love doing all the other radio hits. But it's all happened this week, every day, morning and night.
Yeah. Yeehaw.
So, there's my yeehaw. T-shirt to kind of pump me up because I was up at 3:45 this morning, which even by my early standards is a little early for me.
It is. You're hanging in. You're doing awesome. We're going to get through this. Pucks in 7, episode number 8. We're brought to you by Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer since 2008. Whether you're just starting out or have an established portfolio, Sprott Money has you covered. Silver is currently one of the most affordable ways for new investors to begin building a precious metals portfolio. Use promo code Pucks in 7 for $10 off your first purchase. Visit SprottMoney.ca. That's S-P-R-O-T-T Money. .ca. Brian Ray is going to join us later on. We've had Brian on the Hot Stove a number of times. He's fantastic. We'll talk Dallas. We'll do the 77 seconds in with Brian. We'll go west in a bit as well. We'll talk about seven topics in the Western Conference. But let's begin with the East. We'll dive into Philly, the Devils, the Capitals, the Atlantic standings. Let's begin, though, with Brad Marchand. And I remember last week when we did one of the pods, when he came to the rescue of David Pastrnak. Remember that? I was very non-complimentary.
I'm making air quotes. To the rescue.
Yes. Pastrnak could have stuck up for himself. Yes. I made the whole thing about last year. Hey, yes, yeah, everything was fine. What Brad Marchand said this week after being blasted on the bench by Jim Montgomery, I thought it was so refreshing.
Me too. So basically, he took some accountability. We can set the scene. Jim Montgomery absolutely ripped him, even gave him a little bit of a shove. I'm going to get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. But Marchand came out and said, you know what? This day and age, we scrutinize our coaches too much. There's no accountability. He said he deserved it. He deserved being called out. But also he said he preferred it that his coach would call him out than the opposite, because at least it shows that he gives a crap, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, if there is no sense of accountability, what are we even doing here? That was he implies that everybody is a little bit too fragile these days. And mm-hmm. I think in some cases, we don't want to go too old school, but in some cases, I do think that's accurate.
I thought it was when he said after two, when he was talking about what Montgomery did and how he appreciated that, because he said, I made a big mistake and I need to be
horrible giveaway. It was a horrible giveaway.
The thing that got me the most when he said, if he didn't, we would have much bigger issues. That to me really sums up what Brad Marchand was getting at. So, and look, the NHL to me is, and you may agree, may not, it's turned into a players' league. It has. It's not like it used to be. The players, I think, dictate a lot of what's happening, not just on the ice, obviously, but off the ice as well. And I think for Montgomery, any coach for that matter, I mean, don't go overboard, but don't be afraid to call out your star players if they make a mistake. Years ago, it wouldn't happen. It would be just kind of a whisper in the ear saying, hey, you know what? That stunk. We'll talk about it after. But he was incensed. And Boston hasn't been spectacular. It's still very early. But I really love what's coming out of this, and I hope it goes forward in that it helps the NHL, just helps people in general. Look, if you have an issue with somebody, do it respectfully, but at the same time, kind of move on from that and build around it. So I loved it. I really did.
Two minor notes to conclude. Mm-hmm. I could have done without the shove. I just don't.
Agreed.
Okay. I don't think we need the physical contact.
Well, that's why I was saying don't go past that point.
I think we could have done. And I know it wasn't a hard shove, but just it makes me
wince.
Okay. Yeah. Physical contact makes me wince. I also don't think that Jim Montgomery pulls that with another player necessarily. I think that's very much, he knows he's going to so-called get away with it with Brad Marchand, and he's going to take it the right way. And maybe right. a player with a different personality would not respond the same way. And I think he understands how to deal with his players as individuals as well. He's enjoyed a lot of success with that team. So we can put that one to bed. I enjoyed his response as much as you did.
And Brad Marchand did not extend the tongue to lick Jim Montgomery. So that was a good thing. That would really set things back.
No licking each other, no hitting each other, no shoving. Can we just keep it nice and simple, please? Thank you. Yell away. I'm good with the yelling.
Which you're doing right now.
Yes.
Sergei Bobrovsky, congrats to Bob, became the fastest goalie. And I didn't know this. The fastest goalie because he's played on some pretty good teams. Fastest goalie in history to reach the 400-win milestone. They played last night. The Panthers did. And they defeated the Rangers by a score of 3-1. Good on him. I mean, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame at some point, but the fact that he got to 400 faster than anybody, that says a lot to me.
Okay, so this is what's impressive to me. In addition to the fact that he has 400 wins, which only 13 other goaltenders in the history of the league have, and he did get there faster than anyone else. Chris Osgood, 401. Grant Fuhr,
not in the Hall of Fame.
Pardon?
Not in the Hall of Fame.
Okay. Topic for another day.
Come on.
Grant Fuhr, 403, which boggles my mind, but he played for a lot of lousy teams, so that explains that.
Yeah, if he played Glenn for Hall... Edmonton in the 80s the whole time, that was it. He had 1,000 wins.
Yeah, he would be just fine. Yeah. And then you're looking, and you go all the way up to Terry Sawchuk with 445 wins. Mm-hmm. We're talking, that is well within reach for Sergei Bobrovsky before
and that's elite company. Yeah.
In the next couple of years, really. Yeah. Right? Probably not this year, but in the next couple of years, definitely. And then you're looking at Curtis Joseph after that, 454, Lundqvist, 459. Bob is going to be somebody we're talking about milestone-wise for the next season, two seasons, three seasons, because he's got a lot of racetrack left, Ryan. He's still going to play a lot of hockey. It'll be interesting to see, is he going to get to Marty Brodeur 691? Nope. But I don't think so.
No, I don't think
so
either.
But Marc-Andre Fleury numbers, all of that, I think he could get there. But congratulations to Bob. A milestone, definitely. Yes, he played on good teams. You still have to be a good goalie to get the W.
You do. And it took him 707 games to get to 400. Lundqvist was next at 727. Then Fleury, 728. Patrick Waugh, 753. Ed Belfour, 796. And just naming off a whole bunch. So anyway, congratulations to Sergei Bobrovsky. A couple things quickly about last night's Leafs game. They lost to St. Louis. Craig Berube was going back to Montgomery, and Marchand wasn't as animated as Montgomery's to Marchand was, but Berube went off the top line for doing something wrong last night, which I think is fine. Mm-hmm. Held accountable. That's what you have to do. I really have an issue, Vic. I don't care if your team is 0-82. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care if you lose 21-0. It's not football. But you don't throw a jersey on the ice. I really have an issue with that. Not that I should, because it doesn't affect my life. But I just find that so disrespectful. Don't throw anything. Nothing on the ice. Like, just leave the ice alone. If you're frustrated, that's fine. The Leaf fans are frustrated because last two games have been terrible. Everyone says blow the team up. I really have an issue with that.
We should mention only one person did this. It wasn't like a cascade of sweaters falling on the ice.
No, so, and I don't think, to be honest, I've never seen a cascade of sweaters at any point of view. I've seen one or two.
No, but I've seen more than one. I've seen two, three, or four. Okay, but this was one singular sweater. I think this was from a doofnut who had too much to drink on a Thursday night down at Scotiabank. Okay, it's their loss in my mind. Those things cost good bank. Like, I'm not throwing $160 on the ice, no matter how my team is doing. I may not wear the jersey anymore. I just don't think, honestly, it's their business. It's not really mine. I don't take it quite as harshly as you do. I think it's just dumb.
It's dumb. It's stupid. There's no point. Like, and you're doing it, in the eighth game of the season?
Oh, no, that is absolutely beyond dumb. Stupid. It was, I mean, the Leafs are actually, they played some pretty good hockey up until the last couple of games.
And it's because they're not 8-0 that things are a problem.
Again, somebody had too many pops last night. That's my explanation.
Did you call him a doofnut? Wow, honestly, a doofnut.
A doofus and a nut.
I know, a nuthead. Look at the Atlantic standings. Very odd. So
I think they're ugly. Yeah, I don't think they're odd. I think they're ugly.
no, as ugly as that doofnut. 6 points separate all eight teams from first to eighth. Florida with 11 and Montreal with 5 down to the bottom. But you've got Ottawa and Tampa and Detroit and Toronto all with 8 points tied for second. Games played, Ottawa hasn't played two more than, say, Toronto does, and Detroit and Tampa have game in hand. And then Buffalo and Boston, 1 point back of them.
But lop off Montreal, and 1 through 7 is 4 points, and that's because the Florida Panthers have played 9 games. Everybody is jammed right in there. If you look at it, okay, so the Ottawa Senators have only played 6 games with 8 points. They could be in first place very, very, very soon if they win their next couple of games. The way that everybody is winning a bit and losing a bit and hovering around the 500 mark, or at least, you know, sort of just below or just above it. I'm looking at Anaheim in the Pacific. And they're 7 points, and they would be right in the mix of it right now. But they are down in the Pacific Division. Yeah. It's a bit of a gridlock. I don't think it's a very pretty gridlock.
No.
But everybody is a little bit competitive so far.
You know what that tells me, especially with the teams that you would think will be there 1, 2, 3, 4 at the end, the Floridas, the Tampas, the Torontos, the Bostons, maybe. Mm-hmm. It feels like they haven't come together yet, and this is going to even itself out.
Yeah,
it's going to even itself out. But compared to the other divisions, I mean, the Rangers are playing great. The Devils, they have 11 points. You look at Winnipeg, that's ridiculous. Minnesota, Dallas, 14, 12, and 12. Mm-hmm. And then you have Calgary, 11, 10. So, I mean, there is separation a little bit more so in the other divisions, but it's so tight already after, what, 6, 7, 8 games that these teams have played.
The Panthers have played 9.
No. What about the Capitals, Vic?
What about the Capitals?
5 in a row in the win column, 10 points second, second point-wise in that metro.
All right. I'm going to say I'm going to say some positive things about the Capitals. They're getting some great, first of all, some contributions from their depth I really mm-hmm. like. What has stood out the most to me, not Dylan Strome, not Alex Ovechkin, who you would expect to have 3, 4, 5, 6 goals to reflect the record they currently have. Look at what Tom Wilson can accomplish when he plays like a proper hockey player, not like a big jerk face.
We've said this so many years.
He's so talented. Mm-hmm. He is so skilled that when he concentrates on playing the game and scoring and not the nonsense, he has 5 goals, Ryan.
Yeah.
5 goals so far.
He has more than McDavid, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. He has more than a lot of people.
No, I know.
And he does. And he has more than Ovechkin.
Right?
So his own teammate who's chasing down the most ever. It just speaks volumes to me that if he concentrates on playing the game the right way, you can still be tough. You can still play on an edge, but not crossing it pays out great rewards. And right now they have an awesome record and he's been the best player on that team.
No, he has. All 4 lines are doing what they're supposed to mm-hmm. do. I think Spencer Carberry has the team playing within his system. The offense has been great.
Sure
they're
does.
At 4.33 goals per game. That's 4th best in the NHL at this point. Now, is that going to be sustainable?
Nope.
It doesn't really matter at this point. The fact is they're at that. And remember last season, they had trouble sometimes getting 1 or even 2. I think Pierre-Luc Dubois looked pretty good as well. That's great for him. It's great to see that too, because I always think he has a whole ton of talent. They're also, this is another key thing for me that I was looking at. They're giving up 26.8 shots per game, the 5th fewest in the league. So to your point about defensively, offensively, in goal, they're playing as a unit.
Hey, yeah, Ryan, how about that +8 goal differential, eh?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit different from last year.
Every day. Let's talk about San Jose's. No, we'll do that next segment for sure. I'm not I don't see the Devils, Vic, at this point being I don't know if this is going to sound probably pretty much out there, but being there in the end, I don't. I know they're a great team, healthy guys coming back, etc. I just haven't seen from them what I thought I would see already. 11 points is fine. But the 4 losses out of the 10 games, that's a concern for me.
5-4-1 mm-hmm. is a winning record. They just got 2 key pieces back on their blue line in Luke Hughes and Brett Pesce. Mm-hmm. Immediately. They just played last night for the very first time. We should mention, by the way, it's Friday, October the 25th. They played for the first time. It's going to take a minute. They're coming off severe injuries and surgery, respectively. I'm going to give this team 5 minutes. They made a great acquisition in net. Their defense is going to be stronger than ever. I do think that they need to figure things out front a little bit. But Ryan, mm-hmm. they have a winning record. They are currently in second place. I know they played more games than everybody else. I understand that. But they're still in second place in the Metropolitan. I think they're going to be just fine. They ran into the Capitals, man, and something got weird there. Something went askew for them.
Right.
But I think they're going to get back on track pretty fast.
Jacob Markstrom's numbers. So they lose 5-3 to Detroit, allowed 4 goals on 20 shots. In 7 starts, he has a GAA at 2.99, which again, under 3 is okay, but it's not really, especially for somebody like him. And his save percentage, 891, 3.78 goals saved below expected.
Give it a minute. Those numbers are not good. I will concede you that.
Yeah. Give it a minute. Do we give the Flyers a minute, or have they had enough
minutes? No, Flyers are not good.
Do we give them a couple of hours?
Yeah. Do you know what? It's really, really disappointing to me because this was supposed to be a step forward year. Yes, I know we're just right into it, but man, 1-5-1.
Yeah.
1-5-1, and their one win was in a shootout. They don't have a regulation win so far. Yeah. And, you know, Matvei Michkov has been as advertised. So it's not a rookie savior. It's not fair at all to put that label on any player at any point in time. But the fact is he has been as advertised. He has been good. And the rest of the team is just not getting it done on any level. They're not getting it done defensively. They're not getting it done scoring wise. Mm-hmm. Nobody expected them to be a playoff contender. Okay, Ryan, we all know that.
No, not at all.
But there was, after the promise they showed last year and buying into what Torts is doing there, you just expected a better start. They're not going to recover from this. I mean, it's going to be tough, man.
Yeah, it is. It is. Do you think this has anything to do with it, youth in the league? I know the McDavids and the Matthews and all the young guys individually, youth is not an issue at all because they're so phenomenal. But as a team, the team, I think, is averaging 26.3 years of age. So it's a relatively younger club. And they have some veterans on the team, but most of them are 25 and under. And that also tells me one thing, that yeah, they haven't been in the league very long and they're young. This is also very telling to me. John Tortorella going into Wednesday, he used 18 different lineups up front already. 18. And at that point it was through 6 games. I mean, Vic, you can't make something work if you throw that many lines in a blender all the time.
It reeks of desperation, first of all.
18 different
lines. Also, it can get a little bit confusing. You need time to gel as well. Sometimes, this is a Bruce Boudreau school of thought.
Right.
Send them out there, set and forget it for a little bit, and let them figure it out for a while. Then, after a few games, okay, this isn't working, right? But until you get to that point, give them a shot. But it just reeks of desperation. I look at, when you talk about the youth, I think you're probably onto something there for sure.
Right.
But I also look at Anaheim, and they're very young.
Right.
And they seem to be playing more competitively right now than the Flyers.
Yeah. 6 straight losses they've had. Philly has. Not good. They're grounded as of this point. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll go west after this, and Brian Ray as well. We'll talk Dallas in 77 seconds with B. Ray. Pucks and 7, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, brought to you by Sprott.
Welcome back to Pucks and 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
I should mention this, Vic is so tired that she's got caffeine cream under her eyes.
I do.
Yeah. You didn't seem tired in that first segment, though. It was good.
Oh, no, I love doing this. This is always fun.
This is over,
and I have to go to the next job, I'm going to crash a little bit, but we won't share that with my other employees.
No,
okay?
What a week. We're back. Pucks and 7 brought to you by Sprott Money. We know every dollar counts. We're excited to team up with Sprott Money, Canada's leading precious metals dealer.
Yep.
Gold has averaged 9% annual returns in the past 2 decades, making it a great long-term hedge against inflation. Since 2008, Sprott Money has been the go-to for investing in physical gold, silver, and platinum. Use the promo code PUCKS7 for $10 off your first purchase. Visit SprottMoney.ca, that's SprottMoney.ca, or give them a call, 1-888-861-0775. Brian Ray, we'll talk Dallas Stars in just a bit with him. Let's go to the West, and those Jets, I think we may have led the West off this past Monday, or when we last did the pod as well, with the Jets. And why not, Vic? This team is not lost, and they're showing no signs of that happening anytime soon.
They don't need no caffeine cream, I'll tell you.
They're good. Whatever's working, give them a call. Hey, Winnipeg, I need some of that.
All right, what's the key to success here, though? They're the best defensive team again in the NHL like they were last year. They have the lowest percentage of time spent in their own end. They've got the best goaltender on the planet playing in front of already, or behind, I should say, already a very good defensive team.
Those three are pretty key,
and they're also getting some scoring. Cole Perfetti is enjoying a coming out party. Nita Ryder is contributing. Mark Scheifele is playing at on another level. Vilardi got his first goal of the season just the other night. It's just coming up Jets right now, is what it is. Yeah. And every game they play, I'm starting to wonder. So they are now off to, what's the record, Ryan? You have it in front of you, right? 7-0. I should remember.
7-0.
Yeah. And that's a record for the franchise. And now the record, as in terms of the best start to an NHL regular season, the record is 10. And you know what? I'm not betting against them. Not now.
If you took last, where they ended last season, they won 8 in a row. So they've won 15 straight.
Okay, there were the playoffs in between.
I'm just saying, if you want to just continue, like, they are picking up, not where they left off in the postseason.
Right.
They're picking up exactly where they left off when it came to the regular season. You mentioned every single thing is going right for this team. Hellebuck has been fantastic. They're not giving up any goals. They're scoring a bunch.
Yep.
They're playing with passion. They're playing with confidence. It's amazing what confidence can do. It really is. And I think going into the season, they were really ticked off about what happened in that first round against Colorado. I think every game was, what, 12 to 10? They were high-scoring games, I remember. Not quite that, but yes. I know, yeah. It's not like the NFL.
You're making your point.
But the point is that Winnipeg came in through the 82 games last season. They were I don't know if they were favored against the Avs, but they certainly was maybe 50-50. But they were blown out in five games.
Right.
So it was just one of those things they thought, okay, you know what? We're much better than that. But there's nothing wrong with the team. And I'm with you. Go for 10. Keep going as long as you can, because this is a lot of fun.
And disciplined, Ryan. We brought this up last time. So they may not be today, but I believe they still are. The least disciplined, penalized.
Most disciplined.
Most disciplined, least. No discipline at all. Look at how well they're playing.
Who's on first?
The least penalized team in the NHL. At least they were a couple of days ago. And that also, that helps on two different fronts, large.
No, it does. It absolutely does. So they're playing well. So too is Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And you and I were also a bit surprised when we talked about them earlier on this week. Maybe next week when we talk about them again, we shouldn't be as surprised because they're playing well. I didn't see this coming either. Nobody did.
Gustafsson has been fantastic. Marco Rossi is coming into his own. It's interesting how the stories mirror each other. We're talking about Cole Perfetti coming out, and Marco Rossi is now establishing himself as a number one center in the league, which not a lot of people anticipated. They still have superstar showings from their superstars like Kaprizov and other players. Now, Eriksson Ek is healthy again, which is, he's a massive piece, one of the most underrated players in the league for them. They're playing defensively solid. So the Wild are very impressive right now. Just, they never get the attention. And they went through those awful streaks last year and they get the negative attention. But when they start playing well, it's interesting considering how hockey mad the state of Minnesota is.
Yeah.
It's still, when you compare it to the Big Apple or Los Angeles or Chicago or Montreal, Toronto, it just doesn't garner the same eyeballs and the same attention altogether.
So why is that?
Minnesota?
I was going to say it's because of it being Minnesota. And that's no disrespect to Minnesota, but it's always going to be that way. The numbers too, we mentioned Winnipeg, goals for 4.43 per game. They've given up 1.86. Minnesota not far behind at 3.43. They've also given up 1.86. So defensively, Minnesota's playing just as well as the Winnipeg Jets are right now.
And their goaltender is scoring. Winnipeg.
Yeah, all right. That's one thing nobody can say. Can't take away from Minnesota. That no other team's done this season.
You love it so much. You love your goalie goals, man. I don't blame you.
Only the ones that go right in.
I know, nonsense. Yes. Caveat.
Get me right in. I had the Avalanche winning the Stanley Cup. Didn't look so good about a week and a half ago.
Looks a bit better now.
Thank you.
Looks a little bit better now.
On the back. I've had a lot to do with the change. Anyway, they are showing signs of kind of getting back on track.
As anticipated, I don't think anybody here is particularly blown away by that. Cale Makar has 180 points already, so that's a big part of it.
Amazing. On pace for what, 750?
I just looked up the stats the other day, and I hadn't watched the Avs for a couple of games. And I knew he was producing, but then I was like, how many now? Wow. That's really quite something. And he called himself out from that game and said, you know what, I wouldn't put myself on the ice in that game. And now he's he was leading at last check, as far as I know. So he's definitely racking them up in style. But I think maybe another story we should look at in Colorado as well is the play of Eustace Annanen. So the backup to Alexander Georgiev, who was supposed to be the number one, the regular guy, he has now played. So Annanen has now played three games in a row. Guess how many of those three games he's won, Ryan?
Let me just do three.
All three of them. Every single one of them. And don't he's think... played well.
Yeah.
He has looked good. He's put up good numbers. So now, of course, there's going to be the big conversation. Who do you turn to? Georgiev, who is supposed to be your guy, or the up-and-comer, who also looked rather good on a few occasions last season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, my fantasy writing brain is already... pick this guy off waivers, man, because he's going to help you down the stretch.
This comes back to, and we've said this, or I have, about the whole thing about you can't win a playoff spot in October, but you can put yourself behind the eight ball. So
sure,
Colorado at Jared Bednar was basically saying, okay, you know what? We need something. We need these points. We're going to be okay, but we need to bank these points. And this is good for Georgiev because he's been terrible. I don't think Colorado's been that dreadful in front of him, but he's been bad. And you mentioned Annanen, how last year he was 8-4-1. Nothing wrong with that in 12
games.
That's
pretty good.
Nothing wrong with that.
That's pretty good.
Nothing wrong. And now he's 3-1, right? And last season he had 2.25 goals against .928 save percent. Yes, the sample size small. That's fine. But still, when you can put up those numbers as well, I think this is great. What I hope out of all this, not just because they have the abs to win the cup, but I hope this puts a little, kick in the you-know-what behind Georgiev to get him back on track and going again.
One thing we do have to note, those three wins came against San Jose, Seattle, and Utah.
It doesn't matter. Strength of schedule, I don't buy anything about the strength of schedule.
It's not the Jets. It's not, we'll say, the Oilers of last year, or at least the second half of last year. No, it does make a difference, but a win is a win. They count the same in the column. I agree with that.
Right. A win is a win. You brought this up. You put this on the lineup. You can start this off, too. It's not a Costco story, but it's close to it with Kirkland.
I love what's going on with the Flames in general. I know they just lost their first in regulation the other night to a good Carolina team, by the way, who probably aren't getting enough attention either. But the Flames are playing very well, and there's a bunch of stories coming out of it. And one of it regards 28-year-old Justin Kirkland, who has spent most of his career, pretty much all of it, in the AHL, but carved out a gig on the Flames in the Flames lineup just because the Flames had been sending people elsewhere, right?
Yeah.
And they need the bodies. They need the warm bodies to play out there. And he's played really well. He was on the top power play the other day. He scored. He's having a great time. Wanted to score the winner in the shootout too. But Kirkland, a lot of us are familiar with, is a name brand for Costco.
It's a very good name brand.
So the media has been making something of this, and they've been calling him Costco. Some pundits are calling him Costco, and he has absolutely embraced it, Ryan. He walked into the arena just before last night's loss, and he had the name tag, the name lanyard from Costco pinned to his suit. Mom, dad, and sister are sitting in the stands wearing matching Kirkland sweatshirts. The fact that they're all in on this and they're having a good time, what do we always say? The spectator sport is fun. It's entertainment. It's distraction. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they're embracing this, because Justin Kirkland is not going to play the next 10 years in the NHL. Most likely not.
But the
fact that he can carve out something of an NHL career, and his family is along for the ride, and he's having a good time, and the fans are having a good time, the media is having a good time, I'm just really enjoying it.
I hope it lasts. I really do. But even if
it
doesn't,
for the guy who's not rooting for the guy now, right?
Even if it doesn't, we're going to remember this forever, right? Forever. They're going to be sponsored by Costco, guaranteed, that whole family, in mere minutes.
If he doesn't get an endorsement,
I know,
or doesn't have one already, something's very wrong.
So I don't need to say anything else about that. We got Brian Ray coming on too, so we'll whip through these next few things very quickly. Mm-hmm. Zach Hyman, the whole Edmonton story is still interesting because they're not playing the way that they did last season. McDavid's not playing. He's not scoring. Well, he's playing, but he's not scoring like he did last season. Also, Zach Hyman is not scoring like he did last season. He had 54 goals, and he doesn't have any at this point.
He doesn't have any assists either.
Yeah.
No assists.
It's donut, donut, donut. No G, no A, and no P. Right. He responded the other day. He wasn't annoyed by the questions, but it was basically like, okay, you know what? Things are early and all that stuff. But to me, when McDavid and the rest of the team gets going, that's when he'll get going. I don't think he's going to be somebody to get going by himself.
Are you concerned?
A little bit.
I'm starting to feel a little concerned.
54 goals. Always think about this. You have a huge season the year before, which you did in 54. Coming off, say you come off a huge contract, you sign a big deal. There's a lot of expectations. There's a lot of expectations now on him to score at least 40, not maybe 50, but at least 40. It's tough. It's not easy.
Sam Reinhart's coming off the monster season. He already has 5 goals and 8 assists. Yeah. It affects players differently.
I think a lot of it has to do with the team, Vic. The team is just not, they're not playing well. And
many different things can be true, right? Yeah. So I think he's feeling it a little bit. I think his confidence is now feeling it a little bit. I don't know if players are anticipating what he does in the blue paint as much as they did last year. I don't know. Did he take some players by surprise?
Right.
Now they're planning more, and they've had all summer to figure out what to do with Zach Hyman and prevent him from scoring 54 goals. But I also think the fact that the team as a whole is not doing very well right now obviously has an effect.
And think about how many goals that Hyman got last season. Where were they?
Oh, it's right in front of the net.
Right. So
running interference, for sure.
If Edmonton's not getting pucks to the net, if Edmonton's not doing what they did last season, he's not going to score. It's not like he's going to go end-to-end like McDavid. He's not doing that type of thing. He's not going to shoot from the outside as much.
No, they're very different players, yes.
Right. So my point is, if the team gets going, he'll get going. But he's not going to be someone to get going by himself. Two more quick things. Hate seeing this. Utah with some injuries. You want to talk about those?
It's just such a bummer, man, because we were so pumped to start this season. And the Sergachev acquisition, which seemed wonderful before, now seems incredibly necessary and vital. Utah has lost Sean Durzi to an injury. He had surgery. He's out maybe for the rest of the season. They're calling it 4 to 6 months. And Marino on the back end as well. It just bugs me. The same thing what's going on with Celebrini with the Sharks. You get to get excited about a team that's rising, that is on the uprise, and you have, you know, greater expectations for, and they're getting it all together.
It's
and
a the great Arizona, story.
You know, moving from Arizona, everything was very exciting, and now losing, first of all, their best defender last year, in Sean Durzi and Marino as well. It just sucks, man. It's too bad.
I'll tell you what does suck is the season that San Jose is having at this point, and they are
Salty language for you.
Well, just because you used it. You see, this is the thing. I wouldn't use anything that you didn't use before me. So I wouldn't go out of my way to, I'm not like you like that. But yeah, that is
true.
That's about
as suck.
That's about as high as I go. So they're looking at, they failed to win any of their first 8 games in consecutive seasons. So not just one, they've done it twice now. And this is the category that you don't want to be involved in.
What do you do?
They're the first team to hold that distinction. It's a dubious one. Since Boston opened the 1960-61 and the 61-62 campaigns. Last season, they went 0-10-1.
What do you do? Like, what do you do? They made a bunch of changes. They have new personnel. Yes, they're missing their number one draft pick, but what do you do?
He's not the difference. He's not the reason why the team is not winning.
So? I think they have a couple of wins. I do. They have a couple of wins with Macklin Celebrini in the lineup. I don't think they have 5, but I think they have a couple.
One huge thing that they have an issue with is they've been outscored 12-4 in the first. And with a team that's fragile, you use Boston with fragile and all that. When you're that fragile, you're down already in the first and you're done through 20 minutes. You go to the room thinking, all right, well, here we go again. Chalk up another loss. It's awful. It's awful. But any team at the NHL should not have a start like this. I'm sorry. Parity is too big. It's too impressive. But I don't know.
The Columbus Blue Jackets are winning. The Chicago Blackhawks
Anaheim's
are winning.
Anaheim's winning.
So. Anaheim, I don't think Anaheim is as bad as people think they are, but they're winning. So
I don't think so either. Anyway, we'll see. Okay, San Jose, win a game so we can talk about you in a positive way. Brian Ray is next. We'll talk Dallas. We'll go 77 seconds to in with Brian Ray as well. Pucks and 7, Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash, brought to you by Sprott.
Welcome back to Pucks and 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
All right, welcome back. Pucks and 7 brought to you by Sprott Money. Brian Ray joining us here on the program. We'll talk Dallas. And for Brian to get on this show, it's a bit of a Gong Show, I guess. And he said to me, he got back to me because I texted him in the playoffs last season, I think around 7 a.m. in the morning,
yep,
very early. And when I sent it through, I thought, what am I doing? Like, that's it's so early. Anyway, you decided to come on, but it's it was a bit of a...
Despite that, thank you.
Good to have you on, Bri. And always great to chat Dallas with you, which we'll get to in a second. The whole Batley Sports thing, though, just talk a bit about that, because that's changed.
Well, first of all, Paige, you did text me at 7 a.m., but at least it was on a Saturday. So you had that going for you.
I think that's worse, honestly, but sure, okay.
Well, he made it quite clear to me on the show that it wasn't too good.
Vic, it is worse. My heavily dry sarcasm might have been too dry for a Friday morning.
It's 10-4.
Yeah. But no, the Bally's thing and Victory Plus, so it's, look, it's no secret. The regional sports network model down here in the U.S. is in serious change, whether you want to call it distress, whether you want to call it mutation. The business is clearly changing, and the way things used to be no longer is working. So the Dallas Stars this summer, they actually decided to get away from the regional sports model, and they've started their own streaming channel network, however you want to phrase it, called Victory Plus. And the key for fans here in Dallas is it's entirely free. It's not subscription-based. All you do is download the app Victory Plus to any smart device. There's still a couple that I think are still going through the evaluation. You submit your app to whatever the company is, and they have to evaluate it. So, but for the most part, they have all the heavy hitters, whether it's iOS, whether it's Android, whether it's Vizio or Roku smart TVs. I haven't heard the latest on LG or Samsung, but it's they're still moving through that. But it's basically you open up the app, and if it's within, you know, if it's the day of a game, the game channel is there. But about 5 minutes before our pregame coverage begins, you open up the channel, and it's just, a timer clock, a countdown animation. But outside of that, they have classic games and, 4 to 6 minute features and stuff you would normally see on social media channels and, top tens, all the generic content stuff that you see today. And so that's, been 1 month in. The two biggest, I think, main things that we've heard is one, the picture quality looks phenomenal. And I will testify to that myself, having done the Bally's and regional sports thing and looking at this specifically on my phone. For whatever reason, the picture looks way crisper. The other thing is the distribution. There have been distribution issues with Bally's and some other regional sports networks the last couple of years. That's totally gone. All you have to do is download the app and you have the game. So the Anaheim Ducks have jumped on. They've been doing it as well. The St. Louis Blues dabbled with it for some of their preseason coverage. So there are conversations. It is certainly on the radar of other teams as an option to explore, but teams obviously have to do what is best for them. Here in Dallas, they're out of the regional sports network game. They're into the streaming channel game, but it's entirely free. And it's just like downloading Netflix or Hulu to your smart device. All you do is download it, open it, and bang, you're in there.
Got it.
And it's the way the world's going right now.
I was just going to say, it is. It is.
None of this sounds particularly unfamiliar to me. No. I think it's just the direct to consumer just seems to be the pathway that a lot of different entities are taking, not just in sports either. It's a brand new world. Let's talk about the Dallas Stars, the team, though.
Let's do it.
Off to a good start. You must be pleased. What were the expectations going into this season, and how are they meeting them so far, and why?
Anybody who works in Toronto knows that covering wins is better than covering losses. I know where you guys are based out of. I know what you're dealing with.
Okay, sorry, you're cutting out. I didn't say
that as an insult to the Maple Leafs. No, I know. The whole landscape of dealing with the highs and lows. It's the what the Maple Leafs are in Toronto are what the Dallas Cowboys here in Dallas.
You should see the city right now after the last two Toronto losses.
Yes.
It's blowing up.
It's a quick side note. When Dak Prescott has his landscaping at his new house being covered by the media. So we see it in other sports. But look, in terms of wins and losses, it's been a good start. So first of all, I think the expectations entering the year were they're a Stanley Cup contender. I think it's fair to look at the Western Conference and say it's Dallas and it's Edmonton as the top two favorites. And then after that, look, Colorado has a case. Nashville has a case. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens with Vancouver and the goaltending situation, you know, and whether they have a case. Vegas seems to always be the sniper in the weeds that's going to make a case for themselves in some fashion.
Always.
But it does feel like Dallas and Edmonton are sort of your top two favorites on paper entering the year. That being said, the best player or players for the Stars to begin the season has been their goaltenders.
Yep.
And some of their underlying metrics have not been great. Not terrible. I mean, you're 6-2. It's not like you're this awful mess.
Sure.
But, you know, when Edmonton came to town about a week ago, the Stars had 11 shots in the first two periods. They needed their – and it's not like they were getting just completely caved in. I mean, it's not like Edmonton was out shooting them, you know, 28-11 or 31-11. They were okay defensively and managing Edmonton, but they needed Jake Oettinger to just quiet the game down until Dallas got their legs. They got it in the third period, and then they finally pulled away at the end. They won the game. They've had some situations like that. Nashville on opening night, it was the same way. They had to kill off five or six power plays. Edmonton, same way. They just could not get possession of the puck, and they were chasing the puck. Not the game, but they were chasing the puck a little bit. They go into Buffalo a few nights ago. They go 0-3 on the power play. They had a number of quality looks, and for whatever reason, it was either off the stick, they shanked it, they put it right into the chest of Luukkonen, you know. They finally went into Boston last night, and they took control of a game in the first period. So that part is starting to come around, it feels like. But they had to rely on Jake Oettinger and Casey DeSmith to let them get their game. Maybe a little sleepy is the word I would use.
Okay.
It finally started to wake up in Boston last night.
Because from an outsider, and I think this applies to all sports teams in all different types of leagues, the rest of us around the NHL are like, Dallas, woo! They're playing some good hockey these days. And then you talk to an insider who watches every play, what's going on in and out every minute of every game. You're like, no, you know what? They have flaws, right? They have flaws.
So
it's interesting.
I thought it was a fascinating piece of information, but before the Boston game, the Dallas Stars were 2-21 on the power play.
I saw
they were 30th in the NHL.
They were good last night, though.
So before that, and they have been taking it in the teeth this week from the fan base on the power play slow start. So I was curious. I was looking at some historical power play numbers. Come to find out, last year, the Stars were 2-21 through seven games and 30th in the NHL. They were dead set in the exact same place and they finished top 10 in the power play last year. So last year they scored 3 power play goals. I think they went from like 30th to 19th in one game.
Yeah.
Like that's how volatile the season is at the start, I think, for a lot of teams in a lot of different ways. And Dallas is no different, but they've had goaltending which can fix or mask volatility very well. So that's the good and the bad.
We'll talk Shesterkin in a second, but staying with goaltending, the Jake Oettinger deal, 8 years at 66, AAV at 8.25. Your thoughts on the deal?
I think it's a good deal. You can look at the goalie market, and that is a fair market deal for what Jake Oettinger has done. And you know, I had asked Jim Nill in training camp because Jamie Benn had said, let's just worry about my contract after the season. With Wyatt Johnston, I think there's still a little bit of wait and see there. Jake Oettinger, Jim Nill offered up that he wanted to see a few more goalie contracts develop and what does the market turn into. And we all knew Jeremy Swayman was the contract that we were waiting to see. So Swayman's contract happened, and then I think it might have been less than 2 weeks Yeah. Jake Ottinger's contract.
It was.
Exact same terms, exact same numbers, exact same parameters. And if you look at their career numbers, they're very identical. They're the same age. But I think when you look at, you know, Allmark, Swayman, Ottinger, I think Sorokin, I even think Connor Hellebuck. There's five or six goalies that are all within this mid to late 20s window that all have similar numbers over the last, let's say, 3 years. And they're all roughly making between 8 and 8.5. So there's your goalie market now. The Shesterkin rocket, we'll see what occurs there and how long that takes. But that feels like a different animal on a different planet right now. Mm-hmm. But there's your goalie market. Jake Ottinger's being paid within that goalie market. And from a Stars perspective, he's essentially the first homegrown, drafted, developed goaltender to build a long-term persona like this since Turco.
Mm.
So it's been a long time since Dallas has gotten their guy, drafted their guy, developed their guy, and he turned into the guy. So I think it's big. I think it's really big to get that locked up.
Personally, I think he should have gotten more than Swayman, but nobody asked me on that. So it's we'll leave that alone for now.
You know what, though? We're not in on the negotiations.
And I know he loves it there. He loves it there.
He is not a normal 25-year-old dude. Yeah. He's not. I mean, he's like a 42-year-old guy trapped in a 25-year-old professional athlete. He really is. I don't like to ask players about negotiation stuff like that. That stays between the player and the team.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
Yeah, but he is the kind of guy that my own impression of him would be, the money's fine. The location's great. I'm in a spot where I've got a chance to win. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, I'm good.
You know, so I think it's fair on all sides.
What does Jamie Benn get?
That's a great question. I don't have a clue.
Okay, moving on.
Pierre LeBrun did a great piece with Jim Nill before the season started, and Jim Nill talked about this. Look, the conversation really felt like, from Jim's perspective, this is about one thing this year for Jamie Benn and the Stars. Yeah. They have a true, legitimate chance to win a Stanley Cup. Don't get in the way of that. Don't mix that up. You know, and Jamie has been the captain of this team for an incredibly long time. He's an absolute pillar for this organization. For him to basically say, this is something we can figure out after the season. And, you know, I'm not going to speculate hometown discounts or market value or this or that, but Jamie Benn's entire NHL life has been with the Dallas Stars.
Mm-hmm.
He's had his mega contract.
Yeah, you forget that sometimes.
Yeah, he's the captain of this team. He's had the mega payday. He has seen this team go through a bankruptcy to a new owner to an NHL, developing power to a Stanley Cup contender. Mm-hmm. For him to just say, we can figure this issue out after the season, this is not going to be a hard conversation. And Jim Nill said, as long as he's the GM here, Jamie Benn's going to be a Dallas Star.
Yeah.
I think they already have a rough understanding of whatever's going to go down between those two, and we'll learn about it after the season's done. So what is he going to make? I have no clue, Vic, but I think it's not exactly going to be a dramatic situation when it's all said and done.
It doesn't smell that way at all.
No, not
at all.
And yeah, you're right. Going through all those things that Jamie Benn's been through with the Dallas Stars. I mean, the guy's a legend, right? He's an icon in Dallas. Going from a vet to a younger guy, Vic and I love this guy. We want your thoughts on him. Logan Stankel.
Love him. much.
I mean, the fan base has already given him if we can give the Calder out now, you know, he technically is the leading rookie scorer after last night. Yeah.
But he is a rookie. It's 24 games, man. Yes. Rules are rules. We have a benchmark for a reason. People are like, he's still a rookie. Yes, he is a rookie.
Yes.
He's
still a rookie, not just the games, because he's actually a rookie age. He's not a 27-year-old that's come over.
Right.
Yeah. Look, it's hard not to fall in love with the way the kid plays hockey. Let's get to the hockey side of it. All of training camp, we saw Wyatt Johnston on the top line with Robertson and Hintz. And it felt like with Joe Pavelski's retirement, all right, this is the direction they want to try and go. One, Wyatt Johnston has earned it after his last couple of years with the Dallas Stars.
Yep.
And two, he's just such a good hockey player. Why wouldn't you try that? And then Maverick Bork was injured in training camp. Mm-hmm. And Peter DeBoer put Wyatt back in that third line center role because he essentially needed a center to, you know, down the lineup.
Out of necessity.
Yes. Yeah. And decides to give Logan Stankoven a shot on the top line with Robertson and Hintz. And bang, out of the gates, three assists on opening night for Logan Stankoven. And so they've sort of moved Stankoven around. He's sort of been the plug-and-play guy as they've had a couple of injuries. They've had some guys sprinkle in and out of the lineup. And Stankoven's sort of been the elixir. Now the last couple of games, I think they've sort of settled in here to let's run with this a little while with Stankoven on the top line.
Sure.
So to be a rookie and you're pressed into top line duty with two guys who are pretty well established, and this isn't some 18-year-old first overall pick that's getting forced onto the top line. I mean, you've played yourself into this role. He does have this. First of all, he's got a motor that never stops. Mm-hmm. He is 0-60, and it's practice games, it's all in. The one last thing we have to see is, okay, how long can that motor run at top speed when we get to game 48 and it's your third back-to-back or it's your fifth in eight nights? You know, how long? You know, is the rookie wall going to hit you at some point? Because that is a very real thing. So he's been phenomenal. He's been a blast to watch. You could argue after Jake Ottinger, he's been one of the Stars' best players or most consistent players to start the year.
He's off been definitely the clutch.
Off the ice, don't let the truth or the facts get in the way of a good story. You know, we had this Joe Pavelski, Wyatt Johnston living situation the last couple of years. Yeah. And then when Logan Stankoven came up, he actually spent the night at the Pavelski house. So the fan base has all of a sudden built this Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly, stepbrothers bunk bed visual in their head of Wyatt Johnston and Logan Stankoven in the Pavelski house for a night together.
Right.
That's now turned into apparently they were carpooling to the rink together. Who controls the playlist? So there's this buddy cop comedy story that the fan base has already written in their head of Wyatt Johnston and Logan Stankoven, and you just hope it comes true in some fashion as the season rolls along. So you know, the jury's still out on that. I'm going to have to get back to you on that. But we're already building our own reality TV show around Wyatt Johnston and Logan Stankoven, whether they like it or not. And they have no say in the creative process. The fan base is going to decide. Yeah.
So it is
a fun storyline. The Wyatt Johnston, Logan Stankoven, buddy cop comedy that we're all willing into existence down the line at some point.
Who made their lunchboxes going to the rink? That's what I want to know.
Maybe Pavelski. Joe. I don't know.
Add that to it.
Yeah.
Joe.
All right. We're going to do 77 seconds now with you, Bri. This is where we ask you seven questions. 77 seconds to answer. Take as long as you want on some.
All right.
No.
I can't take 76 seconds on the one.
You interrupted me again. See, she always does this.
You don't have to say take as much time as you like.
No,
that's not the game.
No, because I didn't finish. Then take less time on others as long as it's in the 77 seconds. It's like Vic and I just started doing this today.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay,
Brian,
ready?
Just be quick.
Okay, here we go. We're going to do hockey stuff and some non-hockey stuff.
I am so good at lightning round. Perfect.
Okay, ready? Here we go. How much will Igor sign for?
12.
Toughest challenge for the Stars in the Central.
Health.
Is Roope Hintz the best name in hockey?
No.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Bless
I'm a
you.
Big fan of Rutger McGroarty these days. And Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen is pretty good. Zarly Zalapsky is the
all-time.
That's old school. But this doesn't count against your time.
Since I'm under time, I've got one more name for you when we get done with this.
Okay.
Perfect. Tyler Seguin, over or under 35 goals?
Under.
How many suits do you own?
I think the last count was 14.
Okay.
Oh,
that's not including suit jackets. Okay. Sport coats.
A side note, they're all fantastic.
Yeah.
That's
Thank
a fair
you.
Number. The best live concert you've seen in the last year.
Oh man. Is this my last question?
No.
You have one more.
Can I pass and use this as the last question?
Yes.
Yep.
All right. Family Feud style.
Yeah. You can call a friend if you want.
Yeah.
Best 90s cartoon.
Ooh. Chippendale Rescue Rangers was the best 90s cartoon. The best theme song, yeah. DuckTales. Woohoo.
I remember DuckTales. So, I remember DuckTales.
The best live concert I saw, man. All right. So there's actually, because they just released a new album today. My wife and I, our favorite band is a band we discovered a few years ago called The Strike. They're based out of Utah. They are a rock, pop, synth, sax, indie group that just puts out catchy tune after catchy tune after catchy tune. So we, after 5 years, they finally were popular enough. They came to Dallas. They were purely regional and we had to wait 5 years to see them. That was like from a nostalgia and a personal standpoint.
Sure.
We were so jacked up to see them.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we do summer lawn concerts. We do a pass every year here in Dallas. And we've had a chance to see some really interesting bands we would never see. So Fall Out Boy had really good energy. Like you forget how many hits they had, but in terms of pure energy, however,
I buy that.
In us, one that we never thought, we just went to see it on a whim and we've ended up seeing them twice in the last 2 years. Styx was phenomenal. Okay.
Right.
And
Love
we were absolutely the youngest people there with the exception of people that brought their grandkids maybe.
Right.
Like seriously. But the absolute energy, Sticks. The energy and the hits, and I know they don't have Dennis DeYoung anymore, but the guy who now takes over for Dennis DeYoung's spot is an absolute showman who is on a spinning piano stand and he'll play it like with his hands backwards behind him.
Fantastic.
The whole rest, it was insane. We're like, wow, like Styx, who'd have thought? And then we're like, we're totally coming back to see Styx. If they come back, we're going. It just, these guys get on stage, play the entire catalog. Maybe they'll introduce the band once for 60 seconds and then get right back into all the hits. They play it full speed and then they get off the stage.
That's awesome.
It's The Strike is nostalgia. Fall Out Boy had the energy. Styx was a sneaky good show. Sneaky good show.
That's really good to know. Big fan of Styx. Love it. That was 187 seconds with Brian
Ray. No, we don't count the last one. We gave the pass.
I'm just kidding.
I got my first very answer rapid. Within the 72nd seconds. The
you
77
did.
Seconds.
Yeah. You did.
So,
Ryan, thanks for this. Really appreciate it. And you know you're going to be on our show on the Hot Stove coming up in a year. So we'll do this again as well. So thanks again.
Just remember, Paige, you're Eastern, I'm Central.
I will.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.